What a scene last night. And for you, American beer drinking, sports car driving, soccer's not a sport people. Well, sorry. It's at the point where, listen, the worst thing I found you can do to somebody to try to get them to be a fan of something. Welcome into the show, Dave, Katie, and Matt George behind the glass there. Welcome in. Hi, how are you? The worst thing you can do
is berate them.
Well, okay, that's in the general vicinity of what I was going to say. The worst thing you do to try to get somebody to be a fan of something is try to get somebody to be a fan of something. You can nudge, you can expose, you can be there for questions and invite to things.
It is no different than us giving you crap for not watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I would think, I think so. I think I would hope that people, what I try to do, I have friends. Back my best friend.
You do?
I know, right?
I was the only one.
Breaking news. Friends like you, my goodness. I've said this before. I've got a friend who I've known since fourth grade, 9 years old, when we met. And he's one of those guys, and I don't know how to – there's a term for it, and I'm sure you'll help me out on the text line, and it won't be the term I'm looking for. But he's one of those guys that, like, in music, he was into Pearl Jam before anybody I know was into Pearl Jam. Before anybody I know had heard about Pearl Jam. And then Pearl Jam put out a tiny little video for the song Alive. And it was like a live performance type of thing when they were on stage. And he was like all over, like, dude, you got to see this, dude. This band is amazing. I give him all the credit in the world. This is the first guy I knew in my world that was into Pearl Jam. And he nailed it. And he had a Pearl Jam shirt, a little Pearl Jam hat that he mail ordered back in the day when it was, you didn't have the internet and anything.
Magazines.
Yeah, exactly. But then Pearl Jam came out with Even Flow, and that whole album 10 took off, and Pearl Jam was, helped along with Nirvana define a whole generation of kids and their music. And as soon as Pearl Jam got big, I noticed that he wasn't wearing his Pearl Jam stuff anymore. And I remember asking him one time, and he said to me, well, Pearl Jam, dude, they're all right. They sold out. They sold out, bro. They're everywhere. It's like, well, no, I mean.
They're successful.
They're successful.
It's not selling out.
And it's in the same vein of people that.
Thank God we'll never have that problem.
With what?
Selling out.
No, no, no. The segment brought to you by Jiffy Lube. JiffyLubeCA.com for valuable coupons. So. It's the same vein of people, again, I'll use music, where if they believe Metallica sold out with their Black album, the one that had Enter Sandman and Nothing Else Matters, and then everything after that was crap because they made videos. And it really started with the video for One off of Injustice for All. They didn't make videos before that, and they sold out. Now they're sold out. Well, okay. But was it good music? If it was good music, if you enjoyed the music, then who cares? And there's just some people that want their own little corner in the store.
Yeah, they want to be the ones that, quote unquote, discovered somebody. And they don't want them to have a ton of, like, mainstream success because then it takes away from their little
discovery. Yeah. They want to be the ones that know. And I went through this really in sports for the first time with the UFC and mixed martial arts, where for a long time, the UFC and Dana White in particular were bastards of the sports world. They were outcasts. I used to do the 9 to Midnight show, as you know, and I remember having a guy named Lauren Mack calling me all the time, who was then the PR guy for the UFC, which was a loosely banded circus operation, literally like a circus that would go from Riverboat Casino to city that they couldn't get arrested in with their 30 people and put up a tent and do a fight and then leave. He was begging me, saying, hey, this guy Dana White, they just bought the UFC and it's big and it's all. And I had watched these pay-per-views and, these crazy fights with Hoist Gracie and watching big Samoan dudes get their teeth flying out of their mouth. Taylor Tooley was his name. And another guy named Joe Son taking 13 straight punches to the groin, and it was legal. Like, what is all this? And so he said, Dana's doing in your area, and he's got a couple fighters with him, and we've been trying to get on your radio station. The program director won't take our calls. Nobody wants to talk about it. Any chance you want to talk about it? I was like, yeah, absolutely, bring him in. So it's like 10 o'clock at night, and I think they were staying in San Francisco. They drove up, and my guy at the time, Sean Thomas, goes to the, there's a knock at the door, and he brings the guys in, and next thing I know, I'm sitting in the room with Dana White, Chuck Liddell, and Randy Couture, Tito Ortiz. There were two guys that he brought with him that I barely knew, and nobody knew. And you had to try to, you know, sell these people on this stuff. And at first, people, they didn't want anything to do with it. Now, soccer has been around forever. And I'm surprised at the amount of angst isn't the right word. But just people get real fired up either for or against. And the against side...
Are bigots?
Bigots against soccer?
Yes, they're bigots.
They're sports bigots.
Sports bigots.
When somebody says to me soccer's not a sport, then you lose credibility. I'm sorry.
You also don't have a brain.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those, you know, well, soccer's not a sport. Okay.
The biggest game on the planet.
Well, that's not why.
I'm just sports panties soccer.
Soccer is a sport. I don't care how big it is. It's a sport. It's undoubtedly a sport. And
look, I'm not a big soccer person.
And that's fine.
But I think it's just because I didn't grow up with it. I mean, we played, like, whatever. But I think a part of it, too, is having it kind of as a background of your childhood. That's how you have to be aware of it, right? And people are plenty aware here in the United States of the NFL and Major League Baseball and the NBA. But, you know, I told you I'm on this kick right now with the 30 for 30.
Yeah.
And I mean, everything, even like college football to me, isn't something that I've paid a ton of attention to in the past. Obviously, this job changes it to a certain degree, but this still isn't really a college football town. And so I watched over the weekend the 30 for 30 on George Best. It's phenomenal.
Sure.
Like, these are things that I don't know, but I feel like if I
George had Best, Manchester United, yeah, plane and crash, that whole thing.
He came from Ireland at like 15 to Manchester United right after that plane crash that killed like 21 people, and they were rebuilding that whole thing. Like, I think when you have the background, the history, the knowledge, you're more apt to be a fan of something.
And we're already on the text line. Already.
Oh, no.
Already. From the 209, which doesn't surprise me.
Stop it.
It's a sport for 8-year-olds, bro. It's lame.
Wow.
And from the 707, God, please stop with the soccer. I had to shut the radio off just hearing the guy try to be more obnoxious on the call than anyone else before him. I got a message for both you guys. You got to find another show.
Oh.
You got to.
What?
Honest, I'm telling you. If that's how you're thinking, you got to listen to something else. Because soccer, it's here. Now, that doesn't mean we're doing 3 hours on soccer. It doesn't mean we're going to even talk soccer every freaking day or twice a week. But it's here. It's a big deal. Maybe it's not a big deal to you, but guess what? Whatever you're into might not be a big deal to somebody else. Maybe somebody doesn't like the NFL. Maybe somebody's not into the NBA or baseball. Everybody has different tastes, and I think it's fairly rare that people love all sports. I tend to like almost all sports. I also do this for a living. I don't.
What do you think of the WNBA, Dave?
It's neat. But you know what? Here's the thing about the WNBA. You never hear me. I don't disrespect the NBA, WNBA. I respect what they do. I respect their athletic ability. I respect the game, and it sure as hell is a sport. Doesn't interest me. Doesn't mean I'm going to disrespect it or disrespect its fans.
I really wonder to a certain degree if that would have been different for you had you known me well, like if we were best friends while I was playing.
If you were playing right now, I would watch every game of yours. Mm. I really would. And I would root my tail off because I would have a vested interest in you. But that doesn't mean I would be more entertained by the game.
Right.
It's not, and you're dragging me down a road I don't want to go down. I've been very clear on my respect level for the WNBA and the fact that it's just not something I'm flipping on a Sunday.
But, I mean, the point of me bringing that up is that's no different. You know, you say you're a sports fan of everything.
Sure.
But this is no different than what the Texters are saying, that they don't like soccer.
No, if I was saying, that's the thing. I don't begrudge anyone. And that's how I kind of started. Worst way to get somebody to be a fan is to try to get them to be a fan or shame them. Even these guys on the text line.
You will like soccer, damn it.
Exactly. I don't begrudge them 1 second for not liking soccer. What I have an issue with is when you have this active hatred and campaign against any conversation about it. When last night, that was a listen, ultimately, pretty meaningless tournament that doesn't mean much of anything on the big. So we're talking World Cup here, but not meaningless in the sense that you had national TV. You had a ton of people out there. It was an amazing atmosphere. The U.S. won. That's even better. And somewhere in that crowd, somewhere in the TV crowd, watching in Connecticut somewhere, there's a kid who's got hooked and who's going to go on and play professionally. America doesn't compete on a national level.
An international level, excuse me.
Thank you, for World Cups. I mean, they compete. They just don't win.
The men.
I'm fully convinced, and this isn't me being ugly American here, I have no problem believing that America would already have a couple of World Cups in its pocket, if not a few World Cups in its pocket.
If we hadn't won the Revolutionary War.
That, and if it wasn't like the sixth biggest sport in the country.
Yeah.
If we had our NBA and baseball and football players, the best of the best, that chose soccer first over those other sports, pretty sure we'd have a couple World Cups in our pocket, unlike these other countries where that is the sport.
Yeah.
But it's coming, and later today, we talked about it. We'll have Kevin Nagel on at 8:30.
It's a big day in Sacramento.
It's a big day in Sacramento. The whole setup, what's called the ground making, and he'll get into that for the new stadium. You're going to get, and you need to prepare yourself. That means you're flipping dials. If that means you're crossing your arms and breathing hard and huffing and saying, it's a sport for sissies. Well, okay, live in that world, that's fine. It is the biggest sport in the world. Last night was a big freaking deal. Going to acknowledge it. Going to talk about it a little bit. Going to play a highlight. That's it. Calm down. Keep your pants on.
You're feeling better, aren't you?
Doesn't have to. I am. I am.
Welcome back.
A little bit.
Welcome back, Carmichael Dave.
Little bit. Okay.
Nice to have you back.
Well, yeah, because I know I'm feeling better because Parry wants to do like 3 hours on something. Just because of those two guys.
All right. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But you and Matt can handle that.
Let's do it.
It is it's a big day, though. Emily Campagna is going to come on at 7:30.
Love her.
Love her. She's an attorney. She's smart. She knows what the hell she's talking about. We got some sports and legal. We'll really ask about the CTE study and how that's going to affect stuff. Also, does Lucky Whitehead have any recourse with the Dallas Cowboys? We always love getting into it with her. The Kings are reportedly, according to Woj, starting their interview process to replace Scott Perry. Morning Brew next. We'll be right back on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. That is...
Of course you enjoy him as a player.
That is new.
About 29 other teams would enjoy him as a player.
Cavs GM Kobe. Kobe Altman. Kobe Altman, the new GM. He and Cavs owner Dan Gilbert were meeting with the media. And, hey, shockingly, the news conference turned from welcome aboard Kobe Altman. I don't even know why you do that. Just why even have the news conference? You know what it's going to turn into. Just have a press release. Hey, introducing new GM Kobe Altman. He'll be hard at work.
Well, because he's already relatively unknown. He was like the number three in that front office. And then they fired David Griffin and his assistant GM, which his name is escaping me. But
that's not his name. but why have the press conference?
The point is like he's already like, you know, it's almost like sloppy fists. You know what I'm saying? So you have to give him the professional courtesy of what you would do for anybody else.
I'm not trying
like
to be.
Like if they hired, you know, Stan Van Gundy.
Sure.
You'd have that.
I'm saying I'm not trying to be a contrarian here, but with everything surrounding them.
You could do it like Jason Garrett. Just give him the same sentence that he can repeat eight
times. I'm being serious, though. Why have the press conference? What is the point? What did you accomplish?
They can't hide from this.
They won't hide from it. You just, you don't have the available, what you have no answers. The answers that all they did yesterday was stir the pot more. All they did was not being able to answer stuff. And if you're not flat out denying, you know, they didn't come out and say that Kyrie Irving asked for a trade. That was their big strategy. Well, okay. When somebody's not asking for a trade and a report is wrong, you know what you say? You say, well, that's false. That never happened. I don't know where that came from. That wasn't said. And at one point, Dan Gilbert actually referenced Kobe Bryant back in, I think it was 07, when he was calling LA radio shows asking for a trade, and everybody thought he was going to go to the Clippers. So that, to me, was a tacit acknowledgement of the fact they asked for a trade. Katie, I get the rules. I get the what you're supposed to do. If I'm Dan Gilbert's PR guy, I say, listen, man, you don't – no one's going to – you know, you hired this guy. You don't announce that you're not having a press conference. You just don't. And if somebody asks you, say, oh, Kobe's hard at work, man. He obviously he's swamped for many reasons. That's it. Matt, you're shaking your head.
Nobody would accept that.
Nobody's
they
accepting.
They would be killed for it.
They're not. They're getting killed for this, too. It's a lose-lose situation.
Whatever they get killed for that, in the PR, we're talking PR world,
and they
compare that to
it, seriously,
what
though,
happened yesterday.
They deserve to get killed right now. And I don't want people to come. And I'm sure to a certain degree, people have been like, oh, Katie's hating on LeBron and Cleveland.
You
like,
are.
This
it's
goes
terrible.
Back to like something I wrote to a tweet I sent out like 2 months before the end of the regular season. Listen, Cleveland is a really freaking good team, obviously. LeBron is the best player in the world. It does not take away from the fact that it is an absolute poop show over there right now.
Yeah, poop show that's probably going to be in the NBA Finals for a fourth straight year.
Yeah, but that's what's so crazy about it. Are they're so good at getting in their own way.
Much like the Sacramento Kings used to be.
There's the one and only Gary Gerald talking about our young guys.
The Silver Fox.
Which is what this team is all about right now, the young guys. And they're currently searching for a replacement for Scott Perry in the front office. Otis Smith, formerly the Orlando Magic general manager. He was there from 2006 to 2012. They went to the NBA Finals in 2009. They're going to be talking with him to potentially fill that position. Now, they've got to find somebody, and they're at a disadvantage, Dave, in my opinion, just because of the fact that it's pretty late in the game at this point. A lot of the people that would maybe be available are already, you know, hired in other places. So Otis Smith obviously has a lot of experience in front offices. The question, however, is how much of it is valuable?
Yeah, and first off, this has nothing to do with any of that, but you mentioned Gary Gerald. I don't know why I kind of snickered when I saw Gary Gerald's tweet yesterday. He said, thanks to the HBO documentary, The Defiant Ones.
That.
Immense respect to the accomplishments of Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine. Fascinating story depicted superbly. I agree with all that. And
it's just shocking that Gary Gerald would watch that.
I just started laughing because I've watched it, and it's, listen, it's pretty graphic and dirty, as shockingly a documentary on Dr. Dre would be. I just imagine, like, sweet Gary Gerald watching The Defiant Ones.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
I know.
Gary Gerald has sat next to me on a plane for a while.
Yeah.
With Jerry Reynolds behind him.
I
don't think there's anything he heard in that documentary that he hasn't heard on the plane.
I just wondered if he was like turning it up and bumping it, you know.
Bumping, yeah.
Otis Smith. Listen, the Kings are doing their due diligence. That's good. They didn't release that they were interviewing Otis Smith. This was Wojnarowski. I like the way – I don't want to jump on them. I like the way they're doing this stuff. Get a guy in. Do it as quietly as possible. Interview multiple prospects. But if you're asking, if the question is then, well, what do you think of Otis Smith? And we'll talk about this at 7 o'clock. Not really. Looking at his track record,
not really.
No one's
track record
fan.
Is flawless. Let's just say that and get that out of the way. No one's track record is flawless.
Yeah.
And this is not like he is the head guy either. So
exactly.
It is a different position. This is a collective group of people that are, you know, because you've got Mike Brotz that is involved. There's a number of guys in that front office. So I don't think it's fair to look at someone's track record. And whenever this happens, and with anybody, there's a number of failures that come along with it. There's also successes.
Hire me.
If you're going to pick up,
You
have no successes.
I also have a flawless track record.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No successes.
None.
Took an RV around the country. What do you want?
Bonus. I know.
Win.
Hell of a resume.
Thank you.
I know, right?
What'd you do to
drove RV?
Drove RV. I've been to a lot of NBA games.
Dave, if you recall, you did stop at my house in Phoenix, so I know what that RV trip
took.
Eight
brownies.
Bad memory. No. That's a whole different story. I did not eat brownies. I did, however, drink a glass of wine, and somebody took a picture of it and put it out on Twitter.
While wearing my kimono.
Yeah, I took a joke picture, and somebody put it out. I was like, oh, look at Dave driving around the country being drunk and wearing kimonos, which is about as out of character. Well, no, it's not that out of character. My goodness.
the drinking part is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep, Kings, give him a job.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Hey, I'm not asking for a job on the broadcast team, as they granted him a witch. My lisp carries over to my color commentary duties. Thank you, Matt, for inserting that horrible call. Why are we doing a Republic call there? Hey, it's groundmaking day.
Groundmaking day.
Not breaking, making. Out at the Republic Stadium. I'm super
Rail
excited.
Yards.
I get to go out there today and introduce some people. We'll have Kevin Nagel on at 8:30, the chairman of the Sac Republic. Hey, listen, whether you're a soccer fan or not, and we just talked about that, not going to begrudge you, but you cannot deny this is a big day for Sacramento. I don't want people to have, you know, arena fatigue. The Golden One Center just happened. This is huge, too. It really is huge.
And this is huge for a lot of reasons, and we're going to talk to Kevin Nagel later in the show at 8:30 about what exactly is the difference between a ground-making and a ground-breaking. This is a city and an ownership group that doesn't even have a stadium yet. They haven't been awarded the bid. This is getting out in front of things and really putting your money, you know, where your mouth is. And this is pretty amazing.
Throwing your cap over the wall. That's what they're doing. Take a break. I've got five on it. Take a break. We will talk to
you. Is that how much they're paying you?
About.
After that call.
I get paid in popcorn. Kevin Nagel at 8:30. Emily
Capone. You pay them to be on.
At 7:30. I kind of, yeah, you know, hey. So, Cavs owner Dan Gilbert and their new GM Kobe Altman spoke about the Kyrie fluidity situation, not talking about a tract infection there. We've got all the audio for you next in the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. It's nice watching training camps underway on TV in front of me. They're in Foxborough right now showing the Patriots and
their first practice.
Everyone's in the white jerseys and then the big red jersey, number 12 right there in the middle, old Thomas Brady. He's been through this before. Man, football's around the
corner.
How
many times? 50?
Yeah, actually 55.
55?
Yeah, he's old, but he's good. Drive, Dave, Katie, Matt, George. Hey, we've been giving away the Guns N' Roses tickets around 8:40, 8:45 all week due to some scheduling.
Can't I do it?
Well, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. You did Monday, and that was fine.
I can do better.
No, you didn't even know what November rain was. You're banned.
You need to get over
There's
that.
There's no way that's happening. That's just something we just can't even talk about.
You're
like, we have to move on because you grew up in a freaking tube on Jupiter or something. So we're gonna do it around 8:20 today. Ugh. We'll do it around 8:20. We'll have
no faith in me.
None. Not with Guns N' Roses. No. Hey, if you're
Dave is literally missing one segment of this show. And he doesn't even trust me to give away the tickets.
I'm gonna be gone for the rebrew and
the rebrew.
At 8:20, we'll give away those Guns N' Roses tickets, and we'll do another song that Katie does probably not even know. Which is,
you know, I know Guns N' Roses songs,
but you don't know November Rain.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Arguably their biggest hit.
I'm not sorry.
I mean, Sweet Child of Mine and Welcome to the Jungle were their biggest hits, but come on,
I know those.
You got killed on Twitter. I couldn't protect you yesterday, man. Twitter was all over.
I don't care.
My goodness.
I did not.
You're the
lose
one that threw
sleep.
Her to the sharks.
I know,
you couldn't
right?
Protect her.
Well, I know. But
I
couldn't protect you.
I couldn't protect you.
A pool of piranhas.
I wouldn't protect you. Is really what happened there.
Thank God, you deserve that baby. I'm just saying. How do you not know November Rain? It's all right. I'm making you a mixtape.
My childhood, I know. Can you please put it on a cassette
yes,
too, please?
Yes.
My childhood was childhood labor. There was no dancing, no singing, fun, no music.
So I said you grew up in the town where Footloose was made.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I'm not. Do you get that reference?
Yes,
okay.
I love Footloose.
Okay, all right.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just
don't
asking.
Talk about Footloose.
The Cleveland Cavaliers and Dan Gilbert introduced Kobe Altman as their new general manager yesterday in a press conference. I was just saying was, well, completely worthless. And Kobe Altman comes in and right away proclaimed that everything's fine in Cavs land. Okay, it's fine. Prepared, statement, whatever. Here's Dan Gilbert on all the things they talked about. All right, that was Dan talking. I'm assuming that was a Chauncey Billups question. They spoke about that, or perhaps his conversation with LeBron James. It's not properly labeled here, but Dan Gilbert talking to people other than Kobe Altman about all the things going on with the Cavs. Then they got into the Kyrie Irving situation.
Of course.
And here's how Kobe Altman started with it.
Fluid like what?
Like water. Something we're not going to address right now at this press conference we're having. You know,
because Dave, they don't have answers.
Exactly. That's my point.
They can't come in there and say, yeah, we're talking with his representation because he asked for a trade and now we have to get him the hell out of here.
That's exactly my point. That's why I'm sticking to that with both teeth I have in my mouth. This whole press conference was a zero sum situation.
It's not
for
a
them.
Lack of teeth for
it's
you.
Too many.
It's an abundance of teeth.
here's Dan Gilbert talking about, hey, Kyrie's talented.
Like I said, so do 29 other NBA teams.
So stupid. Why did you fire David Griffin, Dan? We'd only made three straight finals.
I mean, philosophically and culturally, what it means is that Dan Gilbert has never retained a general manager after their initial contract.
Right.
Philosophically, he doesn't agree in employing anyone the second go-around.
He would rather continue
to stir the pot, bring in someone new. I wonder if it's like when someone has too much success, you got to cut them off because you don't want them to have too much power.
I think what it is, and you're onto it, is that it, too often, and it seems like especially in the NBA, you have these billionaires come in and buy teams who have achieved success. In Dan Gilbert's case, in defrauding much of America when it comes to real estate loans. And then you become a billionaire. Oh, look it up. I mean, geez,
I know.
Then you become this multi-billionaire. And then you think that because you made it in business, you now know how, you know, well, if I made it in the mortgage business, NBA is a business is a business. It's a business. Nobody's bigger than the team.
Here's the thing, though. Majority of owners of professional sports teams it's something that's been in their family or they've done it for decades, right? I imagine when these people took over their franchises, people were probably saying the same thing. There is a learning curve for an owner coming in because it is. It's completely different. What makes an NBA team successful is not what makes a business successful in terms of a major corporation. It's completely different in the sense that these guys know what they're doing when it comes to their corporation, right? That's their area of expertise. So many of these guys, these billionaires that are so successful, cannot admit that this isn't their lane, right?
Of course not. They're experts at everything.
Yes. And that's where they screw it up.
And I was going to counter you and say, well, or not counter you, but say, well, you know, when people buy franchises, pretty much every single one has a learning curve. When was the last time somebody came in and bought a franchise and ended up doing well right away? And then I realized, well, you know, Joe Lacob did pretty well. That's actually a really good example.
Yeah.
Joe Lacob
but
came
it's
in.
It's the exception.
It is absolutely the exception. Usually you come in and.
And why was he successful?
I would say he was successful
because
mostly
because he brought in people that know what the hell they're doing
and then
let them do their job.
And got out of the way. I mean, even Mark Cuban sucked at first.
Did you see the potential buyers for the Houston Rockets?
I did. I thought you were going to ask me about Mark Cuban when he found out he was a billionaire.
No.
See that story?
No.
He did a naked dance.
Oh.
When he took broadcast.com to market and he knew what the number was.
Videos?
Would you want there to be?
No.
Okay.
I'm scared, though.
Yeah. I don't think there's any video.
Oh.
We'll take a break when we get back. Hey, do you hear about Julio Jones and his earring?
Yeah.
Hey, Julio Jones lost an earring that's about the price of half your house. And speaking of the Falcons, something very interesting they're doing regarding their single-game ticket sales for this year.
Interesting or stupid?
Well, they're not having any. We'll get into that next in the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, coming up at 8:20, we'll have Guns N' Roses tickets. At 7:30, Emily Campagno, attorney, former Raiderette.
That's right.
Here's on TV everywhere. Talk to us about a little sports legal life.
Seriously, like, I feel like we're sisters from another mother. We haven't met yet, but we've tried really hard.
Well, she's a sweetheart, though.
She is. Oh, so you're saying it's a pity friendship.
Oh. No, that's not where I was going at all. You were saying we're sisters. I said, no, she's a sweetheart, though.
Oh.
That would be the implication that you weren't. You.
No, I got that.
You got that?
Yeah.
And at 8:05, the preeminent mixed martial arts journalist in all the land, I think he's like the 8-time winner of MMA Journalist of the Year, Ariel Helwani will join us. This just in.
Enemy number one of Dana White.
Yes. Abso-freaking-lutely. Check out his work at MMAfighting.com. Did a great interview with Daniel Cormier last night. He really is awesome and a good buddy. I enjoy him and all he does. He was at all the McGregor Mayweather stuff, and he'll be down in Anaheim this weekend for Jon Jones, Daniel Cormier, and Chris Cyborg on that card, Robbie Lawler. It's going to be a very fun event. As promised during the break, we're going to tell you about the Atlanta Falcons. New stadium. They've got a big bird statue. There's a 360-degree video board wrapping the stadium. And we've talked, Katie, about the concessions, which is my favorite thing.
Yeah, they have ultra-cheap concessions.
It's the best, man.
And they have great food there. Their menu is really amazing.
Freaking best. They're just in case you missed it, here's an example. You can feed your family of four. You each get a hot dog, waffle fries, and refillable soft drinks. Remember, Atlanta, the home of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Each get a hot dog, waffle fries, and soft drinks. Four for $28. For $28!
I mean, you can go as one person in most sports venues across the country and get a beer and a burger and pay, like,
easily, way more
than that.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. It's super cool, Dave. Well, however, there's a problem there.
Yeah. In order to watch a game, see, the Falcons won't be selling any single season or single game tickets this year.
Yes.
None. You have to buy season tickets. You have to buy personal seat licenses that go with those season tickets,
which range from $500 to $45,000 for the PSL.
Yeah, that's
alone.
That's insane. Tickets themselves are $55 to $385 a ticket. So what that tells me.
What does it tell you, Dave?
You can get a lot of StubHub happening.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be StubHub.
It is. And they're going to just jack up the prices. And this is the thing. There's about $6,000 or 6,000 seats remaining, right?
Sure.
In the stadium. They've already sold. The estimate is between 55 and 61,000 season tickets. So, and this is something that I actually really like that the Kings did with Golden One Center. Do you remember how they capped it off, the number of season tickets?
Yes.
Because they wanted people to have the ability to buy single game tickets. That's part of the, I don't know, that's how you get a community behind you. You want to be able to cater to everyone from different, you know, economic backgrounds and all of these things. And so it kind of, I don't understand the thinking behind this other than one thing. What is it always motivated by?
Well, I'm going to go with money.
Oh, yeah.
$250 million on the PSLs alone for Arthur Blank.
Well, the NFL also does the NFL ticket exchange thing, too, through their actual website, which is specific to the NFL itself. It's not any kind of third party or Ticketmaster or anything like that. So
NBA has that, too.
I know, but if you can't make a game as a season ticket holder, then that's basically where you buy your individual tickets.
But this is a team that just went to the Super Bowl last year. And so you're going to have plenty of StubHub and people that are selling their season ticket, right? They're not going to go to the game. They're going to sell their ticket, and they're going to jack up the price because they can.
So how is it stupid?
To me, it's stupid what the Falcons are doing, that they're not allowing single game tickets.
I mean, if they
but they have the NFL ticket exchange to work as their single game ticket.
I'm with Matt in the sense that
I don't like it.
I just
but that's
don't
what it
know.
Is.
I don't know if they've only got 6,000 season tickets left, and let's say they do go and they've still got, you know, over a month to do it. If they've sold out every game and every game is bought and paid for and season ticketed, well then it's on the fan that bought the ticket to make sure they're distributed. If I'm on vacation in Atlanta,
so what would you do? If you were a season ticket holder for any, you know, sport, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Would you go ahead and hey, I'm not going to the game, so I'm going to put them on the NFL season ticket exchange, right? So that someone could go to the NFL site and buy it that way. Or would you go and do it on like a StubHub or a Ticketmaster and raise the price and make some money off it? This is why we see Warriors fans at games at Golden One, because people can make money off of their ticket, and that's what they're going to do.
But they can do that either
like,
way, though.
You can say, oh, yeah, but the NFL has the, you know, the ticket exchange. No one's using that, they're not forced to do it.
Have you ever sold tickets on StubHub or anything like
have
that?
Have I? Yeah.
So you get to pick your price?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I
can sell a $30 ticket for $10,000 if I want. Someone's got to buy it. See, that's the thing. The market dictates the price you're selling it for. And it's very much
I thought it was pre-priced based off of the section in the game by StubHub itself.
Yeah.
You could have the worst seat in the house.
He's so innocent.
And put it out for $5,000.
I don't sell tickets. I buy tickets.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm looking right now, October 1st. Bills at Falcons, all right? The lowest price, upper end zone, 326, row 21, $92 a ticket. It's $92 a ticket. But where I think you make a little bit of that back, and we'll see the market adjust as the season goes on, is, again, these concessions, guys, are free refills on everything.
Do they charge $50 for parking or like $100 like you see in L.A. now? Well, you know what I mean?
Probably, but if you're driving to the stadium these days, you're kind of dumb. Yeah, you know, there's so many, especially in Atlanta. There's so many different ways, whether it's Uber, whether it's a train.
So many people do that because they go and tailgate before. That's why it's different in football than it is in like basketball.
If that's
or
where you
else.
Choose to spend your money, you can do it that way. With the concession prices the way they are, I'll go in there. I'll get a nachos for $3. I'll get a peanuts for $3. I'll get a Bud Light for $5. And by the way, all those prices, sales tax included. That's exactly what you're going to pay. So maybe you're paying a little bit more on the front end for the ticket, but you're making it back with concessions, and you get the NFC champion team that you're watching. It'll be Katie, I'm not saying you're wrong, Matt. I get both your points. I'm really curious to see how this plays out. That's what's going to be interesting to me. When we get back, the Sacramento Kings have a name, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, that they are looking to perhaps bring into the front office. They at least talked and interviewed. We'll talk about that person and what their record looks like and where they're going with that next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.